All hands on deck in New York, a state of emergency there. It is the 28th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. A state of emergency has paralyzed New York. A COVID state of emergency is in effect in that state right now. Is it because COVID cases are flooding the state's hospitals? Patients are spilling out into the hallways, people dying in droves from COVID-19? Nope, that hasn't happened anywhere. New York does have a hospital problem, though. The governor in that state just fired, by decree, every unvaccinated hospital employee statewide. And it looks like thousands, maybe tens of thousands of workers quit rather than submit. So now the governor in New York is expected to call up the National Guard to staff hospitals in New York. So keep that in mind. COVID-19 literally never caused a collapse of a healthcare system anywhere. But New York just engineered a collapse all on its own. That's how it's always been. It isn't COVID-19 that wrecked our economy or obliterated our freedoms. It's their absurd overreaction. This isn't a health calamity. This is a government calamity. And never mind the fact that military soldiers will now be injecting you and your kids with shots, because that's normal. Meanwhile, in Mississippi, Dr. Wesley Granger has been practicing medicine for more than 30 years, and now he's become the face of the anti-forced vaccination movement there. Literally, he's put his face on a billboard there protesting against vax mandates. In a recent interview with a local news source, Granger said that, quote, "It's a God-given right to control what goes into our bodies, and if we can't, then we are no longer free." Dr. Granger says that in 32 years of medicine, he has never seen such a sudden surge of heart attacks, strokes, and neurological issues from patients who never showed any problems or risk factors beforehand. Well, for saying that, and for voicing his opinion on the vaccine publicly, Granger and his fellow doctors are getting menaced by the state's medical licensing board, which is warning that spreading misinformation about COVID-19 could cost doctors their licenses. But Dr. Granger isn't backing off from his beliefs, and instead, he's lobbying his state's governor and legislature to protect citizens from vax mandates, whether they're local or handed down from the administrator Biden. Dr. Granger joins us now. Doctor, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for having us. Thank you so much.
So, first, let's speak to what you're seeing. Why are you taking this stance against the mandates on this particular vaccine?
Well, sir, it's along two fronts. When the vaccine first came out, the first thing I realized about the vaccine was it's a vaccine in which genetic material from a virus is injected into humans. When I go to the grocery store, I avoid genetically modified organisms, be it in fruit or vegetables or whatever, because I don't think that's healthy for my body. So I knew that basically if humans receive this vaccine, we'll basically be genetically modified organisms. And also from a biblical standpoint, I knew that was inconsistent with my biblically held beliefs. God said in Genesis chapter 1 that he made man in his own image. I don't think a messenger RNA from a COVID virus is in God's own image. He also said in Psalms 139 that he fearlessly and wonderfully made us. God didn't make a mistake. He didn't accidentally leave out this genetic material from a virus to inject into humans. So from the get-go, I felt that by the design, that this vaccine violated the basic God design of humanity. And so, but I went a step further, obviously, and I began to research the details of the vaccine, how it worked and so forth. And I was just appalled. I said, they can't be doing this. This is amazing. We've never had a vaccine like this. We've had RNA virus vaccines. We've had that in measles and polio, for instance, but we've had the whole virus, the coding and everything. And it's been weakened or deadened. But this is genetic material injected into humans, and the basic purpose of the genetic material is to produce protein, a foreign protein to our bodies from the virus, the spike protein, which is toxic to the human body. We've never done anything like this before. And so I researched the details of the science and so forth, and immediately I began to warn my patients, this is risky, these are risks and so forth. I've just read extensively, listened to experts, Dr. Judy Munkovich, she's a world-class virologist, so many others, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, so many others. And so I also researched the animal studies that were done over the last 10 years on coronavirus vaccines, at least their attempts to do a vaccine. And from what I read, the vast majority of these animals got sick or they died. So I'm asking myself, if you've got a product you're trying to get on the market and you've got these hideous testing results, why are you introducing it to humans? It failed on animals. What's the purpose of introducing it to humans?
So I got to ask you, so as a doctor, as a practicing physician who has worked and cared for patients for over 30 years, for some reason you felt that it was your obligation to actually do research and read studies before recommending medicine be injected into your patients. Am I getting that right?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, my patients, sir, I've been doing this for about 32 years.
Because that doesn't seem to be the standard anymore. You see, the standard now is to just follow the new Bible, which is the Bible written by St. Dr. Fauci. Because apparently that is the new religion in this country. It's a cult.
Right. Well, you know, the only thing constant I have in my life is the good Lord, the Bible, God's word. I mean, your friends will come and go, your bank account is going to come and go. It's going to go up and down. Storms will come, will go, and so on and so forth. That's the only constant I have in my life. And I'm alive today because of it. So I'm clinging to that. So when I have a question about something, such as when the vaccine first came out, I'm going to measure it against the truth of God's word. The Bible doesn't specifically mention messenger RNA, but this messenger RNA vaccine and even the adenovirus vaccine by Johnson & Johnson, it violates the spirit of God's word and what he intended for humanity. So I have to come out against it. I am not a rubber rouser type person. I'm a very private person. To be honest, I'd rather be at deer camp getting ready for the deer season. And we're also told to respect authority. But we're also told that when that authority violates God's law, you have to do something. You can't just sit there and just be quiet.
That's right.
You have to do something.
That's right. So you've been paying attention to the studies that have come out. You've done your own research. You've made your decision as a medical doctor to warn your patients about the associated risks. For those that have not received your advice, or for those that went against your advice, or for whatever other reason, you are seeing a sudden surge of heart attacks, strokes, and neurological issues from patients who you say have never shown any problems or risk factors beforehand. So can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, what are the age ranges of these patients? And do you believe that this is a direct reaction, adverse reaction to these shots?
Yes, sir. I would say in my population, probably from about 40 on up to about 78, 80. I'll give you a couple of examples. I saw a gentleman in the office a couple of weeks ago. He was a new patient to me, but I've known him personally for a very long time. I'm an avid hunter. I like to bow hunt and so forth. He does too. So we cross paths on that front. And so this guy could be considered a professional hunter. He goes all over the country. He goes to Wyoming and mule deer hunt, goes up and down mountains and so forth. He's a little obese, but he carries his weight well. Well, he saw me for the first time as a patient about 2 weeks ago. And this is 2 weeks after he was discharged from a local hospital with his first heart attack. So my first patients, obviously, I'm going to get a detailed history. And I always ask the question, have you received the COVID-19 vaccine? He said, yes, I have. He received it 6 to 8 weeks ago, prior to his first heart attack. This is a guy that's able to thread up mountains, very active, just got back from a fishing trip to the Florida Keys not too long ago, prior to the heart attack. And he gets a sudden heart attack within 2 months after his COVID-19 vaccine. I've got another gentleman I've been taking care of for about 25 years. He has mild lupus and hypertension. Well, I saw him in my office, and his knees came along with him because he couldn't drive. This guy looked absolutely awful. I didn't even quite recognize him. His face was swollen, just very edematous. He was listless. He was barely talking. And look, it appeared as if he had just given up on life. And actually what happened was he spent several weeks in University Hospital, literally fighting for his life. He was intubated. He had respiratory failure, a lot of heart lung issues. His kidneys failed him. He had acute kidney failure and so forth. This gentleman has never had a presentation like this in my 25 years of taking care of him. I reviewed the University Hospital medical record, and they did a kidney biopsy. And I'm thinking that this was a flare-up of his lupus because it can affect the body in that way. But actually what happened was the kidney biopsy results said this is not consistent with lupus, and immediately I felt this was a vaccine-related injury. He has never had a presentation like this before. I'm seeing patients with vague neurological stroke-like symptoms, blood clots. I'm seeing a lot of neurological-type symptoms. Patients calling me within a couple of weeks of having the vaccine, and they're having lower extremity numbness and problems along that line. I've seen also just it's like a disabling type of rash and itching, pruritus. I mean, it's a type of rash when you look at it, it kind of makes you itch, and it's very difficult to treat. And I've had more than several patients that had this type of rash and associated itching within a day or two of taking the vaccine.
Everything that you're reporting right now is what every expert that has been on this program has predicted what was going to happen as a result of these shots. And so you're vindicating every one of them. And it's really difficult to fact check somebody who has had, you know, firsthand experience. You're an eyewitness to all of these things. You're an expert in the medical field. You're a doctor. I only have a couple of minutes left here, but I want to address something that's really important. You put up a billboard in your local area. As a result of you being outspoken, as a result of you living up to your Hippocratic oath, as a result of you doing what's best for humanity and trying to treat people and warn them about the dangers that you're witnessing firsthand, the medical board there has responded by threatening your license, as well as a group of other doctors that are also outspoken there. How are you fighting this? What are they saying exactly?
Well, I'm fighting it by basically telling the truth and honoring my patients. And most importantly, I'm honoring the Lord, because this is unconstitutional. This violates our constitution on several fronts. The Declaration of Independence said we have inalienable rights. These are God-given rights that we can't give away even if we wanted to, and the government can't take away from us. And that's the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as I said in an earlier interview, if we can't control what goes into our body, we have to have a government agency force us to take something. We've had plagues throughout from the beginning of humanity. But if they can force us to do that, we're not free anymore. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5:1 that Jesus gave us liberty. He gave us freedom. We were instructed to not to engage again, to not fall again into the bondage, the yoke of bondage. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to fight this. So I'm fighting with the truth and prayer and just doing the right thing, because first and foremost, I have to honor my Lord. He's going to be my ultimate judge. And I would say this, the doctors are between a rock and a hard place here, because on the one hand, if we don't tell the patient what we know, we're for also not only having the governor call a special session to protect Mississippians from the effect of this unconstitutional mandate, and time is running out, but also we want the doctors to have the right, or actually be required or have the right to make sure that patients have informed consent before they get this vaccine. That is so very important, because if we don't, that is malpractice. And also, this Pfizer vaccine, it's not been approved by the FDA. It's still in the
emergency use authorization.
Emergency use authorization.
That's right.
So we're violating Nuremberg Code if we're forcing people on the coercion or just strongly influencing them or threatening them to get something that's experimental, especially without informed consent. So you've got me at risk of malpractice, appearing before Nuremberg Court, which I don't want to do, and then ultimately appearing before the judge of the universe, my Heavenly Father, versus the medical review board. I'll take my chances with doing the right thing for my patients. It always works out. I have an old saying, justice always finds its target. And if I do the right thing for my patient's sake, then it's all going to work out. So I have to block everything out and just do the right thing for my patients. And that's what I encourage everybody else to do.
God bless you. Dr. Granger, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Keep fighting.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I have been told that we have the scientific capability of cloning people. I have been told that it's possible for us to actually go through with the process of multiplying or duplicating individuals. But I don't agree with that. I'm not for that. And there is only one Dr. Wesley Granger. But thank God for that Dr. Wesley Granger. And if more doctors could adopt that lens, use that lens to view their obligation, their responsibility, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in now. That's a fact. One man that is taking the fight right to the streets, boots on the ground, is called Christopher Key. He founded the Vaccine Police. It all started when he was fired from his job for standing up to a tyrannical school board. As a result of his efforts, the mask mandates there were lifted. He is now taking the fight to Big Pharma, to hospital administrators. He's documenting all of his work at vaccine-police.com. I support him, and I hope that you will too. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. If you can support him, please do so. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, if you were holding on to a tiny hope, any hope at all, a tiny shred of confidence that there was still one, maybe just a couple of America First patriots over at the Fox News channel, that expectation may have been bolstered by President Trump actually mentioning Greg Gutfeld and Laura Ingraham by name at his rally the other night in Georgia. And if you saw it and then reviewed broadcasting, you're most likely just as perplexed as I am. Because here's the fact, not one of them, not Ingraham, not Gutfeld, nobody at that network has mentioned the efforts to audit the 2020 election. Not a peep. Complete silence, a total whitewash. Why? Well, one person who was definitely watching last week's audit from Arizona with great interest is Sidney Powell, former advisor to the Trump legal team. The Maricopa County audit found thousands of ballots impacted by various issues. And of course, it also found that county officials deleted a bunch of records they were supposed to be preserving. Adding to the intrigue, of course, is that Maricopa County used the notorious internet-connected voting machines supplied by Dominion Voting Systems. That's the company that Sidney Powell has been locked in a major legal battle with for nearly a year now. Dominion is suing Powell for $1.3 billion. Yes, billion. But just 4 days ago, Ms. Powell announced on this show that she'd be making a new filing in that case, and she has indeed done so. Powell joins us now. Thank you, Sidney, for coming back. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
So you mentioned that as a result of our interview yesterday, there has been some, or the other day, there has been some ground stirring relating to January 6th, the protest of the fraudulent and stolen election versus your filing in the 12th Amendment, and you wanted to clear some things up.
Yes, thank you. Yes, our filing had nothing to do with what they have called the protests or worse, riots at the Capitol. In fact, the activities at the Capitol that day by the crowd actually delayed our ability to file our 12th Amendment case, but I wanted to make it very clear publicly that we had nothing to do with that event at all and abhor any sort of violence and never encourage violence. In fact, I specifically encouraged everyone to stay away from the Capitol that day because I smelled a huge setup. And that's exactly what it was. As more and more evidence has come out that the FBI played a major role in that. And I've seen video of a train of black sedans leaving the Capitol before the protesters are essentially ushered up the steps. I mean, it's outrageous what happened that day. And in every way, there never should have been the first window broken or anything like that. But also, there should not have been the reaction that there was to the entire situation. And prisoners are still in solitary confinement being treated worse than we treated Guantanamo terrorists.
So the media, of course, latching onto our conversation from the other day, spinning that narrative in any way they can to try to implicate you as having some sort of involvement in setting up that rally, that protest, where American patriots, Trump-supporting America First patriots, objected to a clearly tampered with, we now know to be extremely fraudulent election. And that's what they're doing. They're just lying. They're doing more lying as you are asserting that Dominion is doing. So you've made this counterclaim, which is laid out on your website, defendingtherepublic.org. You're asserting that Dominion brought this suit against you and your law firm to punish you, essentially, for speaking out, to smear your reputation, to impair your credibility, to deflect public attention from the truth of the fraud in the election, and then punish you for drawing attention to the vulnerabilities in Dominion's machines and software. So if the judiciary were honest, if the court impartially held up the law, what would your filing do specifically to protect America's election process?
Well, it will expose exactly what happened. We should get discovery with respect to all of Dominion's activities in these swing states and an opportunity to prove that everything we said was true. But in the meantime, we've been collecting additional evidence that we, some of which we included in our counterclaim, some of which isn't there yet, but will be up on our website shortly, that Dominion did exactly what we said they did. They have the patents to watch the election real time, alter votes real time. We're putting the patents up on our website, and they can do everything we said they can do. They can flip votes in batches through the adjudication process. They can run an algorithm. They can do everything that we have said they could do from day one. And there's every reason to believe they did it. All the math lines up with it. All the time series data lines up with it. And I just learned last night even that the time series data shows that the voting intervals in the several of the swing states were the same. Voting stopped at essentially the same time each time. The parallels between the states show that somebody or something was controlling it all.
So what we need to make very clear for people who sit back and say, well, so what? So Sidney Powell is countersuing this company who's suing her for $1.3 billion, which they're never going to get because who has $1.3 billion just laying around anyways? This is all a distraction and it's a fight between Powell and Dominion. It doesn't really matter to me. But the one of the big takeaways here in any lawsuit, people who are not fighting COVID tickets, for example, that are just paying them are actually doing a disservice to people because they're lacking one thing, that is discovery. And the value is in the discovery. You're saying some pretty shocking things. Who is it exactly that can watch, alter, manipulate, change votes in real time?
Apparently a number of people. It could be just one person. In fact, there was a Diebold whistleblower back in 2006 that came out and said that the problem was that just one nefarious person could undo the will of the people in an election. But in this case, I think it's likely more than one. And I think the real stunning part, the part that really took my breath away, and the reason this is such a big fight, is because all the politicians, at least the long-standing ones, have known about this problem for a long time, which leads me to believe that they have participated in the benefits of it. And it shows the corruption throughout the system that for at least 20 years now, somebody other than the voters of the United States of America has been determining certain elections. And this year, if not prior years, it happened to be the presidency of the United States of America in what is nothing other than a coup. And the Department of Defense knows damn well about it also, because they patented a process for real-time monitoring of the election and doing exactly the same things back in 2005. We'll post that patent on the website today if it isn't up there already. And they also have the government has an interest in a patent that allows for the predetermination of election results.
Here in the United States.
Here in the United States.
The military, the Department of Defense, holds this particular patent that you're going to be putting up at defendingtherepublic.org today.
Yes. Quote, the government has an interest in these patents.
Unbelievable.
And that's why I'm convinced that's why it has been so hard to get any recognition of this. It's got to be the intelligence community and mixed in with the defense community that are at least partly responsible for this. Whether it's the whole thing, I don't know. But obviously a very key group of extremely powerful people in the country have been running this process for years, and Dominion people are smack in the middle of it because they were also some of the same people were in Sequoia before this, and Smartmatic and Sequoia originally or way back, and the same people traced through holding the same intellectual property.
A very powerful and rich group of people, but not the majority of people. And their power is assumed, and it's a false power. It's not the power of God's people. It's not the power of American patriots who are fed up, who have seen enough. And this is just adding more. Opening the floodgates, Sydney, shining a big, huge, bright spotlight into the crevices of darkness where these cockroaches have felt comfortable looming for so many years is exactly what you're doing. And that is the purpose of the lawsuit. So if anybody has any questions about the intent, it's clear to me that that's what's happening here. You mentioned politicians, elected representatives, specifically mainstay fixtures in our government that you say have known about this for a long time. What makes you say that?
Well, Clinton, for example, even I think it was 2 years ago or maybe longer, tweeted that, oh, they might even this time, you know, stop the counting of the votes on election night to interfere with the election. I mean, one of the things that the Democrats and particularly that little global elitist power group does is they tell you exactly what they're going to do. It's conspiracy and fraud just flat out in front of your eyes. And that's what I felt also when I saw these patents. I went, holy cow, you know, they're doing this in plain sight. That's how strong and controlled their power is, which is why this is such a huge fight. And we also have Democrats like Jerry Nadler and Maxine Waters questioning a witness who was telling them the truth about how all this worked 10 years ago or more. And I'm going to post that later at defendingtherepublic.org. It'll blow you away. They know, they have known. Key groups of the intelligence community or the government are part of it. And there is essentially this group that has been controlling our elections and at different levels and different places for 20 years or more, contrary to the will of the voters. We're going to have to go to paper ballots. We're going to have to go to real IDs.
Yes.
And there's no point giving another dime for anyone giving another dime to either political party or to any candidate to run for anything until we get paper ballots and hand counts with signatures and real ID. It is all a farce.
Even if it's a candidate that you support, your money is exactly going right to the sewer system. Your money is going right to the water treatment facility. You're throwing it down the toilet because if something doesn't change, if we do not fix 2020, we will never have a fair election here again. Is that a hyperbolic statement? Am I overstating that?
Oh, no, that is exactly right. This has to get fixed right now. We are over the edge already. I'm not sure whether we can climb back up or not. But if we're going to stay a republic, if the rule of law is to exist in this country at all, ever again, we have got to fix this now. All I ever wanted from the first day after the election was the truth. I don't care where the chips fall. That's what apparently makes me so dangerous. All I want is the truth so we can fix it and get it right and have the country that God divined for us.
You and over 100 million Americans, as well as a global community who, by the way, are just as equally disenfranchised by what happened here because their protections provided to them by the United States, by a sovereign government, have now gone away due to the Marxist coup d'etat that took place in this country. And you're right about the rule of law and its failure to exist here in this country. If we don't get the GOP establishment the hell out of the way as well, and that includes, I don't know if you were watching or if the viewers here caught it yesterday, Ronna Romney flat out refused to give Donald Trump $2 million of the $90 million that they have used, that they have raised, rather, using President Trump's name for the guise of election integrity, refused. Donald Trump himself personally asked Ronna Romney for $2 million of that $90 million, and she flat out refused. My question to her is why? Why are you refusing to support President Trump? She's got to go, along
because
with...
they're part of the problem. They are part of the problem. The entrenched political class is a huge part of the problem, along with the entrenched government control freaks that think they know better than the rest of us.
I got to go here, but why does President Trump then continue to praise these people publicly, openly?
I have no idea. I don't understand it at all. All of them need to go, every single one of them.
That's right. Sidney Powell, God bless you. Check defendingtherepublic.org all day today. It sounds like major things will be dropping over there throughout the day. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
If you're surprised by anything that Sidney Powell just said, I don't know why. If it's cognitive dissonance, if you choose to be ignorant to what's happening, I just want to go to soccer. I just want to put the pot pie in the oven. I just want to watch a movie with my kids, watch them play on the swing set. Get my weekly booster shots every Sunday and pray to the St. Fauci. I don't know. But the Department of Defense, the military, directly involved with patenting a process that allows the Department of Defense, the military, to predetermine and then control and manipulate the outcome of an election in the United States of America. And it is for that speculation that we have been branded as conspiracy theorists by the communists that write for Newsweek, for lead stories, for USA Today. They all have to go, and everybody in this establishment has to go. And Sidney Powell is right. Do not give one more dime to any candidate. None of them. Until 2020 is fixed. Let's see how some of these politicians looking to be reelected, let's see how some of these candidates looking to be first time elected, let's see how some of these incumbents feel about not being able to get one red penny from you until 2020 is fixed. I bet they'll fight for it then. This is my time to talk about some of these globalists and how you can step on them. Go to the Patriot-founded, Patriot-owned steponsocks.com. The globalists, some of them that you'd like to step on, are on the bottom so you can walk on them all day long. On the bottom of these socks, a brilliant idea. They'll be ensconced in glass in some museum for patriots someday as history books write about how we once again had to rise up and defeat the tyrants. Some of the names are Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden, written right on the bottom. How about Pence? How about Whitmer? How about Cuomo? Their names written right on the bottom of these socks. You can take them off, start a conversation, red pill everybody. That'll be like, well, what is that? What is that? What is that at steponsocks.com? Great opportunity to red pill people. Also, if you don't want their names on your body, fine. How about God's name? The Trust in God sock. That is my favorite. I wear the Trust in God socks constantly. As a matter of fact, people question me all the time. Do you have it? Yeah. Okay. There's my step on socks. I'll show it to you every single day. I don't mind putting my dirty feet up on the desk. The producers here roll their eyes, but that's okay. Silver available at steponsocks.com as well as Second Amendment flags. Go to steponsocks.com. Do business with patriots when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, we've had a lot of frontline healthcare workers on this show who have told us incredible stories about what they've seen on their own, with their own eyes, in their hospitals. Doctors punishing patients for going unmasked or unvaccinated. Vaxxed patients suffering mysterious and deadly medical ailments. A lot of these stories have been similar to each other, all of them equally horrific, but today we have an account that's entirely new to us. Corrine Lund is a registered nurse. She says that she has seen things that nobody has reported on, not on this show and not anywhere else. Corrine says that she has personally seen a chain of events that could lead to sedated, unvaccinated patients actually being given COVID vaccines without their consent. Corrine says that the us versus them or the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed posture isn't limited to public discourse, but that those battles are playing out among those charged with your care while you're hospitalized. She says most everything the so-called media is feeding to the public is just blatant lies, and she's here with us now to tell the whole story. Corrine, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I'm just looking for unvarnished truth here. Regardless of how ugly it is, what is going on inside the walls of that hospital?
Inside the walls of this hospital, we have patients. We have vaccinated patients and unvaccinated patients. And the other day, I had a situation where I was at the nurse's station, and a nurse came out of a patient room, all flustered, sat down across from me. She had two nurses next to her. They were travel nurses, and our charge nurse on the other side of her. And she just started spewing. And these are her words. I'm going to repeat what she said. I just came out of my patient's room. My patient is COVID positive, and that mother has not gotten a vaccination. He's unvaccinated. We need to, why are we even spending time giving this guy a room? These who are unvaccinated need to go home and die. Why are we even giving them a room? When they're in the ER and they show up without a vaccine, they need to just go home and die. Why are we taking care of them? Why am I spending time taking care of these? If you're unvaccinated, you need to go home and die. We are wasting our resources giving them patient rooms when we have patients who are vaccinated, who are trying to take care of themselves, want to be healthy. Give them the room. She went on and on like this. And then she said, these patients who are unvaccinated are spreading the Delta variant. And I'm so sick of them. We need to get rid of these people. And I'm sitting there across from her, exactly, thinking this is ugly. This is ugly hatred. She hates this patient. She's mean-spirited. How do you turn that off? How do you turn that off when you go into your patient room? What's going on? I mean, first of all, I should have had my camera going. Secondly, if she finds out I'm unvaccinated, what's she going to do to me? Is she going to hurt me? And then thirdly, what happened to her patient? Was she giving that patient any care? Did she just go in there, did she hurt him? Did she pull the tape off really slow? What's going on in this room? I don't know. And the two travel nurses sitting next to her just said, yep, they're totally agreeing with this. And I've never seen such a major division in a hospital before in my entire life. It's now the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed. And I'm an unvaxxed, and I'm a very limited group of people there.
So we've acknowledged that there is definitely a confrontation or a war of the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed. And it's appalling to hear what you're saying in a firsthand account. I mean, we have seen Facebook posts by doctors and narcissistic surgeons that want to play God and that have alluded to the fact that they would mistreat a patient. But to actually hear a firsthand account from a nurse at a nurse's station about another nurse using language like that to describe a patient who is under their care, that's the first time that we have reported on that. So what about the media is telling us about the hospitals being full of unvaccinated people? Is that true?
No. Our hospital right now, our hospital from day one has been full of patients. I work as a local nurse and sometimes I'm the house supervisor, which means I run the whole hospital. I'm in charge of throughput. The other day, we were at 165 patients. We had 13 positive COVID patients, okay? Last week when I worked, we only had 9 positive COVID patients. Vaccinated versus unvaccinated, we've got a lot of vaccinated patients who are coming in with congestive heart failure, with stroke, with heart attack, with deep vein thrombosis. And at the beginning of this pandemic, those very same patients who had congestive heart failure coming in with shortness of breath, they were being tested positive for COVID. Now that they've got their vaccine, those same patients coming in, shortness of breath, we're calling it congestive heart failure, or we're calling it community acquired pneumonia. We are no longer calling those very same patients who used to be COVID, we're calling them community acquired pneumonia. We're giving them a whole different label, if you would, now that they have their vaccine. But we use them in the beginning to get our numbers up, to make it look like, yeah, we have a problem here. Well, we really didn't. I didn't see anybody dying. Like, I was afraid to go to work, honestly. I thought that it was going to be a zombie apocalypse. I thought there's going to be dead people in the hallways. But it would never turn out to be that way. I even had a video of how empty our hospital was.
Dr. Ruby calls it the Zen Garden. She says it's like this calm place where you could actually just go and meditate, because what the media is telling us is happening here with panic and pandemonium and overflowing morgues and all of this other stuff is just absolutely not true.
It's not true at all.
You're giving us now a firsthand account of that. You told us something, and you mentioned to our producers and in a conversation leading up to this interview that you use an electronic system called Epic. I think a lot of hospitals use Epic. This is a system that allows for healthcare providers to check specific protocols for people that are presenting with specific symptoms. This is used to order medications and to order prescriptions from the pharmacy. This system kind of controls the inner workings of the hospital. You are saying that as a result of this system, you told us that there is a chain of events that could potentially lead to sedated, unvaccinated patients being given the COVID vaccines without their knowledge or consent. How would that happen?
Well, how that happens, when you check into the hospital, you're asked, did you get the vaccine? That's part of our admission. That's like the number two question on that.
I'm sure it is.
Did you get the vaccine? Okay. And you say, yes, I did. And a nurse will say, yes, hit that prompt and it'll go away. If you say, no, I did not get the vaccination, then the nurse has a couple of options. The nurse can say, are you going to get it? And if the patient says no, then the nurse will hit the prompt that says patient is not exempt. And that prompt will automatically trigger Epic to flash a banner every time someone opens that chart that says order the COVID shot now or later. And that will pop up every time a person needs to access that chart. Now just think about that. If you happen to get sicker and you are intubated and you are sedated, or you're just sick and not feeling well, and a nurse comes by and is getting tired of seeing that prompt, finally just hit the yes button, order the COVID shot. That shot will, when you do that, it'll set a series of events going through Epic that will eventually get the pharmacy to send you the COVID vaccine. And again, if you're like, say, for example, you're covering a lunch break, that medication comes with all your other patient meds, and you just go in there, you're absentmindedly working, you're just trying to get this task done, you load that needle up, you shoot that patient in the arm, boom, it's done. And that is a potential problem. And if you're in a hospital setting, you're not in your right mind, you're in the worst place you ever want to be. And especially if you have a nurse like the one I just described,
right?
You're going to do anything and everything to behave, to be good, so that you're not treated bad. And a nurse
who's specifically, explicitly, outwardly saying that an unvaccinated patient should just go home and die,
yes,
obviously has the motivation to then order a vaccine or a shot for that particular patient should they become sedated or otherwise
absolutely
unaware. And then administer that vaccine on their own. I mean, I wouldn't put it past a person who wishes death upon somebody that doesn't politically or ideologically agree with that specific person.
I don't put it past them either. I don't either. And that's why I got so uncomfortable. I got up and left that nursing station. I found myself a quiet corner. I can't be around that person. I know that person is has an evil spirit. I mean, you can't turn that kind of hatred off. You can't. I mean, Nursing 101, we are supposed to leave our own beliefs at the door and treat everybody with respect. And we are non-judgmental. But today, all bets are off. You're either a vaxxer or you're not. And if you are a vaxxer, you're going to be treated okay. If you're not, then you really need to have a patient advocate go to the hospital with you to question every single thing that happens to you while you're there. And granted, that changes from week to week. Every time I go to work, there's a whole new set of rules that I have to peruse through my email to find. And our patient visitation today is you only get one visitor for your whole length of stay. And we do have visitation hours. Of course, our management, our chief nursing officer, will make exceptions for you. If I think that you need to have somebody spend the night with you, I will call her and fight for you to have your advocate stay with you. And it depends on, you know, what she's thinking and where her head is. Sometimes she says yes, sometimes she says no, and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
So I've only got a couple of minutes left here, so I just got to ask you. So everything that the media is telling us is blatantly false. It's a complete and total set of lies.
It is. It is a complete, and we are not fool. We don't have bodies stacked in the morgue. If anything, you know, we tune up our patients with congestive heart failure and community acquired pneumonia. We send them right back to their adult family homes where everybody is vaccinated, and they die there. And in fact, the other day we had patients who were in our morgue that could not get picked up because the morticians were busy going out into the community picking up dead bodies that weren't on ice. I mean,
these are presumably vaccinated people that are out in the public space dying who previously were in being treated for what you would call vaccine injuries.
Yes. And I know for a fact, because I work as a house supervisor, every patient in an adult family home here in this area, every patient in a skilled nursing facility is vaccinated. And you can't get around that. And before we send these patients back, we have to test them for COVID, sometimes twice.
Are these COVID patients being slammed full of remdesivir, put on ventilators, and basically left for dead?
We're seeing that. We are. And there's also this new thing. This is also new. I mean, our hospital, the hospital I work at, marches to the beat of the CDC. And this week, if you have COVID and you're on a ventilator and you've been COVID positive for 20 days, then they take off all your isolation. I can walk in there without an N95. I don't know how that is. And if you are a patient who has been exposed to COVID and you're positive and it's been less than 10 days, then you get the remdesivir and the dexamethasone. If it's later than 10 days, then you're not going to get it.
Are people suffering with kidney issues, renal failure as a result of this remdesivir, like has been reported on this program?
I am seeing patients who are suddenly their new onset renal failure. They're getting acute kidney injury. I am seeing that. And the other day, I just had a patient who, a young guy, who went into atrial fibrillation. No reason for it. He had the vaccine. But suddenly he has atrial fibrillation. And that could lead to a clot. And that can lead to a stroke. Yeah. So yes, I am seeing things. I feel like an island. I can see that, okay, we're having an uptick in this, that, and the other. Why isn't anybody else seeing this?
Well, they are. They're just covering it up. They're lying. They're in lockstep. They're protecting themselves because they somehow feel like they're not next. Like they're protected from the very machine that in New York right now, the National Guard is being called up because of an emergency created by the governor there. And it's just okay. It's normal. Nothing to see here. The military, U.S. Army soldiers are now going to be giving you injections. That's normal. Perfectly normal. Nothing out of line here. Nothing to see. Unbelievable.
I know that. And they're about to get rid of a few nurses, me included. They're going to have me jump through the hoops for my religious exemption, which is an essay style question with limited character use. My manager doesn't even know what's on it. I explained to her that it's an essay question. It'll give me some time. I also explained to her that I'm not willing at all to take an experimental vaccine. And I told her the vaccines that we have available at that hospital are experimental. The only one that has been approved is the Comirnaty. And I sent her the FDA link. She looked it up and told me, oh yeah, they changed the name. It's got the same mRNA. Oh good, we're giving you the right one. And she has no clue. She's clueless. This is our manager. The manager doesn't, she's not supporting us. And I understand, but they are going to lose a lot of very good nurses. They're going to lose the nurses that had the most. It's frustrating. It makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
But I work from the emergency department all the way up. I've worked on every floor in that hospital. And I like taking care of patients. I'm there. I go into these rooms. These COVID positive patients are alone all day, all night. I go in there and I sit next to them. I hold their hand. I hang out with them because I'm not afraid. I know that I'm not going to get sick. I'm not getting a vaccine. I don't get the flu shot. I never get sick. I'm a healthy individual and I take care of people. That's what my intention on this planet is, to take care of these people. And I do it. And I will do it until the 18th of October when they say, hand in your badge. That,
and then you'll be replaced by a zombie with a stethoscope.
I'll be replaced by a zombie nurse or maybe the National Guard, you know? I can't believe this is happening. If my dad were alive, he'd say, what? I mean, what is going on? And it's very frustrating. Take an advocate with you. Do not, if you have a nurse that you're uncomfortable with, fire your nurse. You can do that. I'm telling you, if you feel uncomfortable with the nurse that you have, fire that nurse, because there are nurses out there who hate you. They want you dead. They hate you because you didn't get vaccinated. So listen to your gut when you go in there. Take a strong advocate when you go into a hospital. If you break your leg, go to the ER, get out of there. Do your best to take care of yourselves, because our healthcare system is completely broken. It's been taken over. I will tell you that right now. It's been taken over. And I'm sorry that I have to leave, but I'm not gonna get vaccinated. I'll jump through their hoops. I know it's gonna be a moot point. I know they're gonna get rid of me. I'm gonna do the best I can to take care of all my patients while I can. And then I'm gonna hunker down.
Corinne Lund, God bless you for coming forward and for doing what you do. I mean, you have a genuine love for your patients, and I cannot believe that we're having this conversation in the United States of America in 2021.
I can't either. And
I'm out of time.
Thanks for having me. And just tell tell everybody you got to have an advocate with you.
You just told them, and I agree. God bless you, Corinne Lund. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
Mike is offering the sale of the year. You will receive 50% off his Giza Dream Sheets. Just go to MyPillow.com, and you will receive a set for as low as $49.99 with promo code STU. Or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use STU at checkout.
So between the vax mandates and the murder rate going up 30% and transgender propaganda being forced onto your children in school, it's easy to feel down on America, and it's easy to forget that there are still millions of people trying to move here. And of course, under President Biden, as long as they show up at the border, they can easily do that. We learned that in the past 2 weeks when 15,000 Haitians showed up and crossed the border at Del Rio, Texas. What do they have to add to America? Well, let's be honest, not much. They're poor, they don't speak English, they don't have many skills, many of them could be criminals. They will almost certainly end up as wards of the state or something barely above that. So why are they here? They aren't fleeing a genocide or religious persecution or some natural calamity. The vast majority didn't even come from Haiti. They came from Chile or Brazil or other Latin countries where they'd already settled. But the word is out now. The U.S. border is open, and America has more wealth to soak up than South America does. So here they are. Of those 15,000 Haitians who were in Del Rio a week ago, an estimated 300 of them were pregnant women. At least 5 of them gave birth right there on the spot to children who are now U.S. citizens for life. For a moment, the Biden administration pretended to care about America and its laws. They put a few hundred Haitians on planes, sent them back to Haiti, but it wasn't going to last. The left is way too insane for that now. So on Sunday, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas went on Fox News Sunday and admitted what was obviously going to happen. At least 12,000 of those Haitians have now been released into the U.S. Or they'll be given their day in court, of course, but that means nothing. Because if they ignore that court date, ICE won't ever hunt them down. They'll never be deported unless they want to be deported. So that's the situation. How did we get there? How did so many tens of thousands of migrants get to the same spot all at one time? Were they getting any help from the government, from rich Americans who just enjoy seeing the population of this country shoved aside, displaced by foreigners? For that, we're joined by Ben Berquam, an immigration investigative reporter and director of Frontline America. Ben, thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
That's great to be on with you, Stu.
Who are these people and why are they here?
Well, you alluded to it. Most of the people that we've seen actually in Del Rio that were at the bridge, covered bridge, had come from Chile and Brazil. I actually brought a few of those documents. I'm here in Washington, D.C. To join with angel families, those that have had their family members killed by illegal aliens, to demand that Secretary Mayorkas resign and to expose this fraudulent regime for what they're doing. all of these IDs. These are all Chilean IDs. These were all found on the border. I found hundreds of them. They simply leave them on the Mexico side before they come across into the United States. This is a Brazilian passport from a child that had Haitian parents who had the child in Brazil. I even found sonograms of women that were pregnant. You mentioned that as well. In fact, the last number I heard, there were 12 deliveries that took place in that camp in just those 2 weeks alone. And this is a designed, orchestrated, coordinated effort by leftist organizations, globalist organizations in the United States and around the world to undermine capitalist free nations like the United States in particular. They are down in Central America. They're in Mexico. They're in South America. Groups like Pueblos Sin Fronteras, Centros Sin Fronteras, El Otro Lado, Catholic Charities, and the UN directly. We found documentation of the UN, their Migration Council, providing documents on how to get through Mexico. It was guised as to your final destination in Mexico, but it's clearly designed to get them to the border. It's a coordinated effort, and it's being paid for by the American taxpayer and the lives of American citizens through overdoses, as well as direct deaths by criminals that are crossing our border. It is a tragedy against this nation, and every single politician who supports it right now should be removed from office for dereliction of duty and breaking their oath.
Yeah, and we'll get the memo right to them. You're there. I'm sure that they'll step down immediately.
Right. Yeah, if we actually had a Justice Department, I would expect something like that to happen. The problem is the Justice Department's become the Injustice Department. They're spending time investigating January 6th while they ignored 4 years of insurrection and a coup against President Trump. It's just, you know, we're in post-constitutional America right now.
Unbelievable to hear those things. So real quickly, when these people get into the United States, they're obviously displaced into the interior of the country. Do you have any indicators, any evidence or any idea where specifically they're going, how they're getting there, who's facilitating that, and if key cities have been selected for them to arrive in?
Well, they're being shipped all over the country, basically wherever they want to go, wherever they say they have a relative, a family member, a location that they can work into. What many of the ones I've interviewed, a large number are going to Florida, a large number are staying in Texas, others in my new home state of Arkansas, they are going to Arkansas, Louisiana, huge numbers going to Louisiana, basically mostly red states. The states that have jobs available right now is where they tend to be going. Now, I don't have the exact number. The federal government isn't giving us that number. And the sad part is they don't even seem to be tracking it. What I've been told by Border Patrol and others, by those directly, I interviewed one at a gas station in Del Rio, and he said, he showed me the piece of paper. It says, you have 60 days to find a Border Patrol agent to turn yourself in to begin the process to request your asylum. If you don't do that, then we're going to come after you, which you mentioned, obviously will never happen. So basically, they're given free rein into our country. Some of them have money. This is one of the little known facts. A lot of these people are wealthy. A lot of them that are coming now. I saw a family from Cameroon, about 12 members of the family, all with Gucci backpacks and watches. And they've just heard that it's easier to get through the southern border. But the vast majority will be destitute. They will be welfare recipients. And they're being sent around our country with a combination of dollars that are given to these so-called nonprofits, these NGOs. Really, it's tax dollars that are funneled to these organizations that then give them to these people to either ride a bus, take a flight, or get to wherever they decide to go. And I just coming back to Washington, D.C. last week, I flew through San Antonio and the entire airport was filled with people that were there illegally. You can tell they're all carrying the same yellow bags or they have manila envelopes that say, "Help me, I don't speak English. How do I get to such and such?" The flight I was on, the six people sitting immediately in front of me were all here illegally and ultimately ended up going to Dallas and then who knows where from there.
And they're being flown around the country by major airlines in this country at whose expense we're going to find out.
While you and I are being told to muzzle up, wear our face diapers, get a vaccine or else, we are shipping in millions of people with COVID and with other diseases that we don't even know. Many of those like yellow fever that we've eradicated in America. It is a health emergency what we are doing right now. And nobody's talking about it.
And it's being done intentionally, on purpose.
That's correct.
Ben Berkwam, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And lots of jobs available in America right now as all of the hardworking, dedicated, loyal employees are now losing their opportunity to work because they're refusing the injection that is not being mandated by those that are replacing you. And if they don't get the job, don't worry. They can just sit down and rake off of the taxpayer, your money, what you have worked for, and probably earn a better living than what you are accustomed to. Unbelievable. Bringing in all kinds of sicknesses. You got to protect yourself against what's already here, what's being chimerically engineered, and now what's being brought in from around the world. God knows what is going to be here. Stay healthy. One man, a genius, early treatment protocol innovator. His name is Dr. Zev Zelenko. He saved 99.9% of the high-risk COVID patients that were under his care. Thousands of lives in upstate New York. He believes in early treatment protocols. He has talked a lot about zinc, D3, quercetin, and a combination of other things that you can go to the pharmacy, to the drugstore. You can put it together on your own, or you can go to ZStackProtocol.com. He has put all of those things in the proper dosing into one pill that you take twice a day. Go to ZStackProtocol.com right now if you trust and believe in Dr. Zelenko's early treatment protocols to protect yourself against sicknesses. Do that. Go to ZStackProtocol.com, ZStackProtocol.com. Well, we've seen the falsely inflated market. What goes up must come down. At the end of the day, what that means is market volatility, and there's sure to be a whole lot more of that that's prompting investors to do things that they wouldn't normally do, moving away from bonds, maybe into insurance. That is the subject of today's Money Minute with Carlos Cortez. He's the founder and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management. He is an independent fiduciary, a God-fearing family man, the chief sponsor here on the Stu Peters Show. Your titles just keep getting longer and longer. Bottom line is, you are our financial expert. What are investors doing? Is this a good idea?
I think so. Funny story is we have insurance on our house. We have insurance on our cars. We have insurance on our life, our health. J-Lo has insurance on her butt. David Beckham has insurance on his ankles. Why don't we have insurance on our money? It's the craziest thing. People don't do it. But did you know, Stu, that there are actually life and investment companies that will guarantee your principal, have it in a 7702 tax-friendly account where the IRS cannot even touch it themselves because it's not a government-written trap and contract like a 401k and IRA like we spoke about many times. Number two, it has stronger benefits than a Roth conversion. Everybody's doing a Roth conversion to evade taxes. Number three, they can also guarantee your principal from crazy days like today when Yellen starts yapping her pie hole and say, hey, we're going to raise interest rates. The market just tanks and people get hurt. And so there are solutions for this. And we talk about this on America First Retirement Plan .com. Our webinar is there. We just revised it. And we basically talk about a strategy that can help prevent you from paying over taxes, protect your principal, and give you an account that we can give you a solution to convert your IRAs and 401ks.
Are you seeing a lot of people doing things to prepare for this? Or do you see investors, people looking for retirement advice, do you see them just kind of coasting, riding this thing out, kind of just hanging in limbo as these mandates come into place? I got about 30 seconds. Do you see a lot of people staying on top of this, or are there a lot of people that you think are ill-informed or possibly unintentionally ignorant to all of this going on?
We see a mixture of both. We have a passive mindset of an investor where they've been through 01, the 2008, and they just say, hey, it'll eventually come back up. But then we're starting to see more active, proactive investors that are wanting to be proactive because this administration is not in the USA favor and the local person or the American worker. So there has to be proactive measures being taken place, and they can check out our webinars and some of the strategies we're recommending right now.
Yeah, you can find those at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, that's AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. You can visit Carlos Cortez directly, CortezWM.com, or call him directly. Get a pen, write this down, 813-448-3446. Again, that's 813-448-3446. Carlos Cortez, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it. May they be tied to it. May they be forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. And one thing I will do is continue praying for you. I promise you that. Remember to fly low and avoid the communist radar. One day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!